Coastal fog can bring more than a nice view. It can also act as a vector for microbes. That's according to a recent report published in the journal Science of the Total Environment. Eli Duker is an author of the report and director of the Center for the Study of Land, Air, and Water at Bard College. He spoke about how coastal fog can carry microbial life between land and sea.
When we think about bacteria in particular, or any microbes, it's really about how quickly can they reproduce and can they make a living, can they metabolize, can they find food, can they maintain themselves. And so we've seen that in the clouds, and so it's perhaps not really surprising to find that fog is serving the same purpose. And I think the difference then is that fog is something that humans are interacting with more, and also, the amazing thing is that this shows that there is a connection in some way between the ocean and the terrestrial system in a way that we're not used to thinking. When we think about the terrestrial systems, we think about the runoff and things coming off the land going into the water. And what we're showing here is that there is a transfer, it's a full circle, and that fog can help in that transfer. But there are two things. One is that it's possible that bacteria are multiplying while they're in fog droplets. That's something that we need to do more research on to look at. It's also possible that fog, and actually we found evidence of this, fog does assist in making certain bacteria deposit from the air onto the surfaces that the fog is traveling over. So when you think about particles in the air, some are smaller than others. The smaller particles will stay suspended for longer because when we're talking about gravity, it's all about mass, right? So the smaller particles can stay aloft much longer than larger particles. But you could have particles that they're not large yet until a fog droplet forms on them, and then suddenly they're so large that then they fall out of the air. And so that's how fog is changing the types of microbes that are in the air, we think. It's possible that bacteria are multiplying. We still need to look into that more deeply. But it's also very likely, and we have found evidence, that fog makes certain microbes fall out of the air. So when a fog dissipates, it has actually changed the types of bacteria that are still in the air, and it's also changed the types of bacteria that are now on the surfaces in that environment.
So going from there, with oceans changing and temperatures rising and different microbes possibly moving with warmer temperatures, could you see then an impact on coastal areas where you have new organisms brought to that region due to the changing ocean?
Absolutely. Yes. I think it's a concern. The other thing is that fog itself is going to change in frequency, and we may see fog showing up in environments that didn't used to have it, and we might have fog disappearing from environments where we did. So those are our real concerns, and it's one of those things that what our study is looking at is something that has always been there. It's one of those things that we just really quickly need to get more information about so we can better understand how climate change is going to shift the ecosystems. And I think one of the important things in terms of public health is that, you know, if fog is supporting microbes in a different way, if we fundamentally change one of the sources, which is water, by polluting it, by contaminating with sewage, by contaminating it with other contaminants, we are risking changing then what's in the fog. And although I do not want to overstate, our study found evidence that organisms that are related to pathogens are able to survive or are present in fog, but we did not conduct the type of study that could confirm the presence of pathogens, so I want to be really clear about that. But given the understanding that we have that what's in the water is also in the air, if we know that we're contaminating the water, we should probably assume that we are actually changing what's in the air. Now, if it's to the level that it's a public health problem, that's something that we should be looking at more closely. I don't know. But I do think it's a concern, and it's one of those things that is an environmental problem that we actually already know the solution to. We know how to keep water clean. And I think for me, this whole study and the work that I have been doing over the past 10 years looking at the transfer of bacteria from water surfaces into the air in places like New York City, that work has really, for me, simply underscored the importance of a clean environment and the importance, in particular in a place like New York City, of clean water, which is important. And as you know, in New York City, we release billions of gallons of untreated sewage into the water when it rains because of the way that our sewer system is constructed. For me, the work that I'm doing is not necessarily cause for any sort of panic, but it is cause for being even more convinced and having more political and economic will behind trying to keep our water clean.
From a public health standpoint, by knowing what's in the water, can we predict then, possibly in the future, what type of organisms may be traveling or coming to a place soon?
Sure. Well, yes, but here are the questions that haven't been answered yet, and which is why I'm going to continue this research with my colleagues, Sarah Evans and Kathy Weathers and others in the city, is that we actually don't yet have enough information to be able to predict the number of organisms that will move from the water into the air. We also need to spend a lot more time looking at the specific types of bacteria that are moving and looking at how long they can survive in the air. So there's a lot still to look at, but I think in general we can assume what's in the water, it's in the air. So if we know that our water is contaminated, we should be concerned not just because it's not safe to interact with that water, possibly, but also because it is in the air. And for those folks who are particularly people who are immunocompromised, this may be a strain on their health that we've been overlooking. And so it's something that's really worth
it. Eli Duker is director of the Center for the Study of Land, Air, and Water at Bard College.